Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I, what a weird opening we've had today.
Jimmy?
Matt is here. Megan O'Leary is here. Megan, we love when you come on. You're a friend of the show, so thank you for being with us for the whole show today. Promoting your new, I guess it's a new series or a new show you're doing, which people have been really speaking very highly about. Becoming a Fighter, I think it's called.
Yeah, I should
know that, but I'm a shitty host. Becoming a Fighter.
Yeah, no, well, thank you guys for having me. Yeah, Becoming a Fighter, it's been a really cool project. Honestly, probably one of my favorite things I've ever done with UFC. It's because we hear about the journey that it takes for our athletes to get to the octagon, and it kind of stops once it gets there. But like, they all come from such various backgrounds and they've had so many different struggles and walks through life that it's been really cool to kind of hear how they ended up on the UFC roster. And we had Leon Edwards on our most recent episode, and he's on today's show and he has just a tremendous story. So it's been really cool.
I listened to that episode about his father being a leader of a gang and
getting
murdered. This is brutal. Yep. I mean, oh my goodness. I was like, man. And you know what's so funny? He doesn't even play up all that. He's so outspoken. So when other kids act like, not kids, you know, well, I guess kids to me and you, Jimmy. But when these younger fighters, some of them pull that gangster shit, Leon's like, yo, man, I see that, you know, I seen that firsthand. I don't gotta act that way, man. I'm the real deal.
Yeah. And I think that's like, you know, a huge thing for him is he didn't really want to talk about where he came from because he didn't want to glorify it. He didn't want to make it sound sexy in some regard. You know what I mean? And kind of say, hey, I grew up in this gang violence and now I'm so tough. It happened. I mean, it was in spite of that he made it to the UFC, not because of it. You know, I think if you took 10 random fighters on our roster, you would find 10 compelling stories about where they came from and how they got to where they are. Because I do think you have to have probably a non-traditional upbringing or a little bit of something different to happen in your life to be able to compete inside the octagon. There has to be something different about you. And I think they all have these, you know, pretty compelling stories.
Something that like, oh, Leon's ready right now. Look at that. Oh. I'll tell you. I'm not getting a fucking word in. Jimmy. And by the way, Megan, I wish I had one of those Men in Black fucking forget sticks where, do you see the beginning of this thing? My fucking things falling down behind me. I'm changing my tank top. Well, not on air, but I was a disaster. You're so used to working with professionals, Megan. I apologize.
I think we should have kept the tank top. Really, just
I absolutely agree. I believe that showing the guns would have been very appropriate today, but you decided to change it in honor of solidarity with me and the fact that I'm in awful shape, which I thought was very kind of you as a friend. You didn't want to make me look bad.
You're welcome. Let's talk to Leon.
Let's bring Leon on.
What's up, Leon?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, buddy. How is it? I mean, just press, right?
Yeah, it's been a long week, but it's all good.
Gotta be expecting this, man. People are so excited for the return of you, and especially with your opponent, man. How excited were you when they called you and said, "Hey, man, we got Nate Diaz for you"?
I was excited. I think this is a fight I need to put me to the casual fans. You know, I think I've done everything else. I've went out there. I've beaten everyone they're giving me. You know, so all that was missing was getting like a name like Nate Diaz. He's a veteran of the sport. He's been around a long time, and he's one of the biggest names in the sport. So when I go out there and defeat him, then that'll put me in line for where I feel I deserve, which is a title shot.
Yeah, at one point you had to feel like, all right, I've had this kind of run of bad luck, or just things not working out, or someone dropping out, or COVID, or all these kind of circumstances. Did it ever get frustrating where you're like, I'm just not going to get a big fight? And then the Muhammad fight with the accidental eye poke. Did you start to get to a point where you're like, what do I have to do to get a fight to actually go through?
I had to start the pandemic probably. But since then, I've just got used to it. You know, I've rolled the wave, and like I said, as long as I stay in the gym, I'll have to fight one day. You know, so that'll switch my mentality, my perspective, and the way I look at it. You know, so maybe it was a blessing that I had more time in the gym. It's rarely that someone in the prime get to sit out for a year and just improve. And that's what I did. You know, I just improved for a year, and I feel I'm much better fighter than what I was in a full RDA. So I am looking forward to going out there now and competing against Nate Diaz.
Well, we obviously can't wait for this one, Leon, but like, you guys were supposed to fight in Houston and then you're rescheduled for Arizona, which is, I'm assuming, where you are right now. But how much did you have to modify what you were doing in that timetable? Because that's when you were pretty close to a fight. It wasn't like, okay, several months out, this fight gets canceled. It was just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, exactly. It's only like three, 4 weeks after. So it weren't too bad, you know. Obviously, I had to like slow down your training a little bit, taper back a little bit. But apart from that, just gave it more time to game plan and to prep, you know. So yeah, it didn't really affect my training much. Just got to peak at the right time, and that's what I did.
The fact that there's going to be a crowd, it's going to be insane. I mean, yeah. Does it make a bit of difference to you?
Yeah, for sure. The last time I fought in a crowd was like 2 years ago when I fought RDA, you know. So to have a crowd again, especially, I'm looking forward to even the press conference tomorrow, you know, and just being around the environment, being around the excitement of fight week again and feeling it, you know. So I cannot wait.
It's funny. I didn't realize, just from a fan point of view, how much I missed the crowds until I heard Bruce Buffer announcing the first fight of the prelims, and people went crazy. And I'm like, wow, I really missed hearing an audience. And it does make a huge difference. We just got used to hearing
exactly.
No crowd.
Yeah, exactly. When I fought in Vegas, I did say I preferred, I liked it, you know, because you could hear your cornermen, you can hear everything that's going on, but you cannot beat the crowd, you know, you cannot beat the excited. I have 20,000 people in the arena screaming. You just cannot beat it, you know, so I'm looking forward to it and feeling the energy to push me through, and I cannot wait.
And by the way, you do hear your corner, but you also hear the other corner. And I always wonder, when you're fighting, does it annoy the shit out of you if you hear the other corner going, he's tired, he's tired?
Yeah, does it annoy me? Like, when I was fighting Bilal, I could hear everything his corner is saying, you know. It was like, step to here, cut him off. I was like, you're telling me exactly what he's going to do? So it's like, I was counter that, you know, like, it doesn't make sense. So, yeah, I think, like I said, I did like it, but I'm looking forward to having the fans back and having Bruce Buffer shout my name out in front of 25 people.
You might get a different kind of talk this time around, because Nate sometimes talks to his opponents when he's in there. You know, even the press conference that you mentioned, there might be some interesting lead up to this. I mean, what are you expecting in terms of how he approaches this with you?
I don't know, because so far it's been all right. You know, you didn't really talk much shit on social media so far, you know. So let's see what it's like in person. We'll probably see each other tomorrow. So let's see. I'm just focusing me and doing what I need to do, you know. I don't think they can get me out my game plan or get into my head. I'm built different, you know. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm going to enjoy the whole process of a fight week. It's been, like I said, a long, long year and a half, and I'm going to enjoy every minute of it.
Does any of your like silly buddies or anybody close to you say, look, man, I got this zinger for you. If Diaz comes at you with this, hit him with this. Like, who the fuck was that guy that fucking Conor went viral with? Does anybody try to go, come on, Leon, we got some stuff that you could get a little attacker with at the press conference. You get anybody give you any lines, anything with that, or no? Or
oh, nah, I got no one that's not saying that. I got my manager and stuff that's like saying to do this or do that, but I can't say, I just go with the flow, you know, see how it goes.
Yeah, and you don't seem to draw that energy. Although I say that, and then you and Masvidal had that problem. But you're kind of a quiet guy to yourself, and you don't seem to put that energy out there. So Nate doesn't seem like I don't know. It doesn't seem like you would draw that energy out of him because you're not putting that out there either.
Yeah, I think Nate is one of them guys that he's kind of reacts off you, you know. Otherwise, he just like keeps himself and does his thing, you know. But let's see. Like I said, I ain't seen him yet, so let's see how. I know he's with like a pack of friends, you know. So let's see how it plays out. We'll follow him meet up.
He's a respectful guy.
Yeah,
he's a respectful guy, but it would be weird to hear you. You don't want to listen to your funny friends because it wouldn't seem natural. And the difference between like a guy like Nate, it seems comfortable and natural. And a guy like you who's more quiet, that seems comfortable and natural. And that's always what I think makes people like or dislike a fighter is when they're being themselves. And, you know, as you are, I think you don't need to change that.
Yeah, for sure. I think you just got to be yourself. And if I come out tomorrow now wearing like a fucking Versace robe and just talking shit, like, what the fuck is you doing? I'm just doing my thing. And like I said, I'm enjoying it and I cannot wait to perform, you know.
That's, I think, where you do your best talking is inside the octagon. Leon, I mean, to get past Nate, obviously, what do you think you have to do? And will that be enough to secure a rematch with Kamaru?
I believe so. You know, I know what I said, Nate's a tough, durable guy, and he cannot be finished and this and that. But you cannot take as much punishment as he does without having wear and tear, you know. And he's going to pay a price one day. And I feel this is a fight where he's going to pay a price. And I'm looking forward to it. And I know Dana came out. I sent an interview yesterday saying, the winner of this get next title shot after Kobe or something, he said. So let's see. I'm focusing on Diaz at the moment. I go out there. I do what I need to do. They will go to Dana and see what he's got to say.
I heard you say, Leon, in an interview, correct me if you're wrong, you said something like that the Kamaru's falling in love with his hands and that's going to be his downfall. Is that's what you said?
Yeah. That's what I said. You know, I think he's getting some good finishes for the last couple of fights, you know. So I think it's easy to fall in love with his striking. Thing. Like, look, I'm knocking these guys out, you know, so I can keep pursuing it. So I think that can be his downfall, you know. But let's see. He's got patterns that he's set into that I've seen in his last five fights, you know. So let's see how it plays out.
That's interesting, too, because and I've mentioned a lot of times with Cormier with his own honesty, saying that how much it felt good to hit Stipe and he wanted to knock him out as opposed to listening to his corner. And you look back at a guy like Roy Nelson, who's a great, you know, he was a, I believe, a jiu-jitsu black belt, and he just loved knocking people out. And after a while, if you have so much power, you just start to rely on it. It's like you're literally becoming almost predictable. I'm not saying Kamaru is, but that does happen sometimes with guys who fall in love with the power.
Yeah, exactly. Especially like grapplers, you know, especially like you've been wrestling your whole life and then suddenly knocking people out. It's like, oh shit, I can like actually knock people out, you know. It's not even like trying to knock people out every fight, you know. So let's see. You might, we'll see. Like I said, when it's my turn to compete against them, I know exactly what I need to do to gain victory, you know.
Yeah. And you are an active fighter. So obviously you're not looking beyond actively fighting and fighting, going for this title. But when you see things like guys like Woodley, now going to fight a guy outside and buy, does that at least give you something like, all right, you know what? When fighting is done years down the road, there's a really good way to make a living.
Well, fight YouTubers?
Well, you know, I don't want to say it like that. But it's a good paycheck when fighting is done.
Yeah, it's fair play to Woodley. You know? I'm not really I'm not sitting there and think, oh, after this, I'm going to fight a YouTuber, you know? Yeah, fair play to him. I think it's, like I said, it's a good payday for him. He's what, 39, 38. He's been cut from the UFC now. So I'm all for getting your money, you know. If you can get your money to secure your family, then do what you need to do, you know.
Yeah, and he's been the best in the world. And
yeah, exactly.
You're this close to being the best in the world.
You exactly.
You're eye on that.
Yeah, exactly. My eyes is just focused now on being a world champion. Like you said, he's been there, he's done it, you know, he's won the bout, he's defended the bout. So my aim and my focus right now is 100% capturing the title. then once I'm retired, then I'll figure out what I need to do next.
Leon, do you like the fact that this fight with Nate is 5 rounds?
Yeah, for sure, 100%. I know everyone says it benefiting him, but I just don't see how, you know. I've never shown fatigue in 4 and 5. I've always won a decision over 5 rounds. This is my fourth time preparing for 5 rounds in the last year or so. So I feel confident anywhere the fight goes, you know. Whether it starts slow or start fast or pick up late, I am ready to go wherever the fight goes.
Do you think that, you know, because again, he's a few years older now, that going deep kind of gives you, I mean, he's never been known to get tired, but it could happen. I mean, the older you get, the harder it is to keep the cardio. We see that with a lot of guys as they get older. There's that one nanosecond that they are off. And then a guy like Tyron's an example of a guy who's still very hard hitting. But that little second you lose of speed is just the difference in everything.
Yeah, 100%. He's just coming. Like I said, he can't take that much punishment. His last, let's say, 5 fights, it's all been wars, you know. He's got battered from pillar to post, and he pulls it out. Just doesn't Conor McGregor fights like that, you know. You cannot take that much punishment and nothing happens. It's just like, no, it's common sense, you know. Any great fighters will tell you that, and I think he will pay a price, and I can see him slowing down. As far as cardio goes, let's see, you know. I know he trades on his fitness, but he does slow down. If you watch him in fights, when he's on the back foot and he's getting hit, it does slow down. It does tire you, you know. Everyone else is fit when you're on the front foot and you're pushing the pace and you're at your pace, you know. So let's see.
And you had a great appearance with Megan. Everybody's talking about this this great appearance you had on Becoming a Fighter. How did it feel to talk about the stuff you talked about and then kind of put that out there? And that did it make you feel any different when it was done? Or are you happy you did it?
Yeah, for sure. I'm happy I did it, you know. Obviously, at the start of my career, I didn't like telling my story. And I think I was coming from like a background where you see them blind, hearing, deaf, you know. Even you don't talk about your life or talk about what happened in your life, you know. So it was like a weird thing for me to start like telling my story, you know. But I'm very happy I did, because like I said, it can help other kids, you know, that grew up the way I grew up, and show them that there is a different path to life. It's not where you start, it's where you finish, you know. So yeah, I'm very happy I did it, and I'll keep telling it. I'll start like a knife crime charity as well. I'm doing it at the moment. So that'll help that, and can tell my story for that as well. So it's all good, you know.
Yeah, how is the program going? I know you, Darren Till, and Jimmy Manuel, you just kind of launched it not too long ago at all, with the support of the UFC behind it. What has that been like in these first few weeks?
Yeah, it kicks off in June the 21st, once the UK is back open, you know, because we're still in lockdown, we cannot have gathering at the moment. So once we can properly go out and see the kids and mentor the kids, which is in June the 1st, 21st or 26th, I think, then we'll get it up and running. But it's a great cause, you know, to have the UFC as well backing it, help funding it, then it's going to be a great cause. Like I said, knife crime is one of the biggest things for young kids in the UK, you know, for stabbings go. So I'm happy to play a part in it and try help one or two kids, you know.
I'm sure it'll help a lot more than one or two, Leon.
Yeah, 100%. You know, like if I had this when I was a young kid, it would have been amazing, you know. So I'm happy to be one of the front runners of it, and I can't wait for it to kick off.
Did you ever feel growing up, did you feel hopeless at all growing up, or did you always know that you were kind of going to move on to other things, or was there a point where you thought like, I don't have a whole lot of hope in front of me?
I wouldn't say hopeless, just like you kind of get set in like a pattern, you know, right? It was like everyone around you is doing the same shit. Your friends are going to jail. Your friends are doing this. You come from a poorer background. So I wouldn't say hopeless. I always wanted to do something good with my life, but it didn't see the way out, you know. I didn't know what I would be doing to get out, you know, and to have a mixed martial arts now changed my life and brought me around the world where I can meet different people, see different people, come back to my friends and tell them story and tell them different stuff, and even bring them along with me sometimes. It's a great feeling, you know.
Yeah, and we're happy for you that you got this Nate fight. Matt and I are always screaming about how we want more Leon Edwards, so we're really very pleased for you to get this as a huge fight. It's on a great card. I mean, the fact that you guys are the third fight on the card behind two championship fights told you, but this is just an incredible card, and really happy for you, Leon, and good luck on Saturday. And you deserve it, and you deserve a big fight and a big spotlight. And you know, any fans that don't know your name, it's silly at this point, but they should and they will.
Thank you, guys. I always appreciate it, man. You always look after me, you know, and always give great interviews. So thank you again.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Take care, Leon. Good luck. All right.
See you soon.
See you later.
You think you know Rose Namajunas? Rose lost her first title fight. Flat out lost. But right then and there, she made a decision to stop just fighting and start believing she would become a champion. And look who's number one now. Guaranteed Rate is a mortgage lender who understands the power of belief. Because if you believe, you will.
Equal housing lender. Subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply. Company NMLS ID 2611. NMLS consumeraccess.org.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I mean, listen, he's a huge, and he's also a huge, a big guy for welterweight. You know what I mean? And you, but Diaz, I mean, I don't think Diaz is making lightweight anymore. He grew too. It's not like he's a little guy, you know, and he has a frame that you can grow into. Like he got bigger over the years too, Diaz, you know. I can't tell you, you know how I feel about Diaz. And Leon is just one of the most if not the most underappreciated fighter on the whole fucking, in the whole UFC. He lost to the champ. I mean, think about it. I mean, how come people aren't talking about that? Because he's soft-spoken? I mean, shit. I mean, I like I said, we talk about it all the time, Jimmy. We love Leon.
Yeah. You know? He's a polite guy, and that it's just not as headline-grabbing when you're a polite guy. When when you're not saying outlandish shit, it's not as, you know, people don't grab the quote because Leon's just like, yeah, he's a good fighter and I'm gonna hopefully win the fight, you know. I mean, that's not as quotable as somebody who's saying something ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think the level of activity, right? We haven't been able to actually see him, and there's a big recency bias, I think, with our sport. We oftentimes think like the fight we just saw is the greatest thing we've ever seen, or we forget, oh, there's a legend of the game, but he's been out for a couple of months and all of a sudden he doesn't exist. And I think that's kind of been a disservice to him as well, and certainly not to his own fault at all. So it'd be interesting to see if he can kind of get a couple of bouts underneath him and get fans to really remember who he is and the skill set he possesses, like what that will do for his star in the octagon.
And sooner or later, it has to happen with the history, with the whole three-piece in this order. He has to fight Game Bread. It has to happen. It probably will happen regardless if they ran into each other. So they should probably get paid for it. And, you know, well, Jimmy, is your date still there? From
No, that would have been oinking.
That's my dog, of course, losing it. For the only time I have to do anything. Just right now.
Jimmy. Shit.
Now you're right, Meg. What was the term you just used that was great about recency, or what was that term?
Recency bias.
I've never heard that before, and I want to avoid saying embarrassment of riches because I realize I'm an ass if I say that. But that's the beauty of UFC has got so many amazing fights. It just seems like every card, it's like, yeah. Last week was great, but Jesus Christ, it's Adesanya and Vittori. Like, they have so many good fights they're putting on, and when I see what goes on, and again, I've been critical of boxing, but it's like, look what UFC is doing with the prelims. And with the and with the fight pass prelims have good fights on them. The entire night is stacked. It's hard not to do that.
Jimmy, I was about to say, move my ADD, the Ultimate Fighter. I'm enjoying the S out of it. You know what? As I clean up my my language when we have
Megan. Megan, we have a professional here. Yes, I understand.
Honestly, yeah. I'm at home when you curse. So
I love the shit out of this Ultimate Fighter. I love the shit out of this new Ultimate Fighter. Jimmy, yeah. I'm sorry. I don't know if you watched that, Jimmy. I'm not putting you on the spot.
Yeah, it's I don't care for the language.
Jimmy. Oh, wait, Jimmy. This Ultimate Fight is great. Have you watched it, Megan?
Yeah, I worked with Brian yesterday, Brian Ortega, who's obviously one of the coaches, and it was funny. Yeah, no, I've always enjoyed the Ultimate Fighter, and I think when you know what goes into it, there's like so much more of an appreciation, like, you know, because my husband Joseph coached the Ultimate Fighter season 24, and I mean, they're like 18-hour days. You're emotionally invested. You're physically invested. I mean, there's so much. So I've always had this appreciation, but it was funny because Brian kind of said like, yeah, I went into it. I wanted to keep everyone at an arm's length. I wasn't really into developing a relationship. And now he's like, I miss my guys. I text them every day. You know, you get to kind of see that progression of the relationship. But he did say, because he's a featherweight and he's coaching middleweights as well, he's like, I had to kind of punk some of those guys. I had to show them what was up and that, you know, I'm the coach for a reason. So he said he ended up sparring with some of them. And it was kind of fun to hear.
That's Brian Ortega was that?
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. I enjoyed last night's fight with Mitch Raposo. You know the guy, the name's better than me. And Ludvik Sholinian. I think I got that right. Or maybe I destroyed it. But listen, either way, what a fucking fight, man. Because you got the one. I love, like, not knowing what's going to happen. And I like to get surprised where people are like, all right, look, this guy's the number one pick. So he looks, yeah. I mean, and then you see the background, so you get a little invested that way. And, you know, one kid's from, what's he, from Pennsylvania? But where's my fucking notes? Excuse me. I went from not cursing to just fucking.
Yeah, now you just can't stop.
I mean, listen, he opened up the floodgates. But I like to give these guys some shine because I'm telling you, that was a great fight. And the kid that lost, did you have it on here?
I didn't watch that episode yet.
Antonio, do you have it?
Let me ask you about the.
I'm sorry, he has it. Okay, so it was Mitch Raposo. He lost. I got no backgrounds on nothing of these mother guys though, or nothing. Not that I expect them to have a whole thing on them. Whatever. The point is this: the contrast in backgrounds. The young kid that lost is only like 22, so I don't feel that bad because this kid's gonna come back. Very, very talented kid. Oh no, he trains with Rob Font and them. That's right. Sorry. He's with the Keitel is what he's with. Anyway, he's and he lost to the guy from the Armenian who's friends with Edwin. Yes. We got it, Jimmy. So anyway, that other kid is let me see. You close your eyes, you think you're back at your analyst desk, aren't you? Don't you, Megan?
It's mind blowing.
Listen.
No, this is just how they do it at the analyst desk. Who the fuck is that guy? I don't know. Do you got the paper?
Listen, Ludwig is an Armenian man, and I don't know. They had and he was a wrestler, a really good fucking wrestler. So the first round, the other kid, Mitch, he was 40 foot. Just brilliant. He stayed on the outside, came in with shots, took away his shots, took away the takedowns. And then the second round, again, the Armenian kid, Ludvik, got that back. So then you got that sudden death round, Megan Olivi. Sudden death round. Sudden death.
Sudden victory, Matt. Sudden victory.
Yeah.
To me,
yeah.
It's death. It's
no, death. I agree.
It's victory or death. So listen. Yep. So if whoever wins this next 5 minutes, yeah, I mean, it's huge. So, I mean, I don't know. I was psyched up. Maybe the espresso was kicking in. I watched it just before we got on. And the other kid ended up winning, Ludvik, the Armenian kid. And I'll tell you, he wasn't picked to win. They thought the other kid was going to win. Just so exciting. Jimmy, catch up on it.
I will. Of course I will.
Can I kind of relate that to something, Matt?
Yes.
That matchup and sort of story there reminds me, not exactly the same, but it reminds me of a fight we have coming up this weekend, which is with Brandon Moreno. He was, Joe was his coach on the Ultimate Fighter. He was the first pick, but he was the last ranked. So they gave a seeding for them because they were all champions of other organizations when they came in.
Oh,
he
weird.
Was the last seed. He was number 15 or 16, whatever the seeds were. And he got out in the first round, but he just kept training and training and training, lost his very first fight. He actually fought while the show was still airing, but in the UFC. He got signed to the organization while the show was still airing because we knew he had already lost, but he continued to work so much that he just impressed the matchmakers and everyone. And now he's in a rematch for the world title, and it's just a couple of years later. So I think it is really interesting to see what that show can do for people. And you might not win, or you might not be picked first or ranked, you know, number one in the tournament there, but there's a lot of potential that comes out of that show. And Brandon Moreno, I think, is a beautiful example.
Man, I don't have any tattoos. If I did, I'd get tough on my ass. I loved it. It changed my life. Jimmy.
Yep.
It changed my life. It's my Opie and Anthony show. Do you understand?
I do. Yeah, it was.
What that did for you, it was like the Trojan horse that got little Jimmy Bird in for everybody to see.
Sure.
Jimmy flew in. And did I think?
That's right. Some would say I slithered in, but I like flew in better. Flew in sounds nicer.
My bird, you're not a slug. Listen, all I know is that show, I won that thing. It led to the good thing with George. I went back as a coach. People got to know this lovely personality. And right. Now look at me, Jimmy. Look at me now with Megan O'Leary and the great Jim Norton.
You're a Hall of Famer.
Thank you.
Considered the biggest upset in UFC history.
Can I take me down a notch? Because when I was thinking, when you guys were talking about with Leon about people falling in love with their hands, I could have did a single leg on Lytle. Why did I have to fucking box that guy? I took a fucking beating, Jimmy. You know what it is? No, this is the difference between Lytle and Trigg. There's a lot of differences. But Trigg, not the greatest chin. A little bit of pillow hands. Lytle, very good chin. He hits pretty fucking hard. So I didn't really consider that. I could have put a single leg in there. I could have dropped for a fucking Asha Garami. Anyway, guys, let's get back to the show.
We should, by the way, we shouldn't be negligent. We just talked to the other day. We talked to Frank Camacho. So we should.
You know, Camacho's out. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We should. Hopefully he is okay. Against Frivola, Terrence McKinney is taking the fight.
How sick is this? Do you know the last time, Jimmy, that poor Matt Frivola. Dude has a fight. This is the second fight, Kim. Last time he's on Fight Island, you know, the guy, something happened. He somebody snuck in and snuck out a backpack and his opponent's out of the fucking UFC. And they had to give him this stud of an opponent, a different guy that he had no time to prepare for, who ended up losing. He fought a good fight, but he ended up getting outpointed. And now here we go. Last second, we change an opponent on poor Matty again. But Matt Frivola, this is the perfect example of a guy that would have been already known if this was back in the day and there was less fights, because Matt Frivola has some of the most exciting fights. Every time he fights, whether it's Lando Venata or that big, I don't know, the dude was like 6 foot in lightweight weight class, the Tarantula, big, tall, black.
Yep.
Wow. I mean, every fight Matty's in is a great fight. With the violent Bob Ross, Luis Pena. I mean, Matt Frivola is he's going forward, and he's trying to kick you out from the second it starts to the second it ends. Very durable, well rounded. I mean, he's a really fun guy to watch. Do we know anything about Terrence?
Yeah, Terrence is very good. He just fought in the LFA a couple of weeks ago, maybe about a month ago. He finished all of his wins. So he's got 10 wins in his career. He's finished all of them, 9 in the first round. And he also has like a really incredible story. So hopefully we get to highlight that on the broadcast. He's overcome a lot in his life. And he's really open about it, but he is, and his last couple of wins have been in like under 2 minutes. He is very, very talented, very well-rounded as well. I believe he wrestled in college. He was on Contender Series, but he lost his fight on Contender Series to Sean Woodson. And so he's got a little bit of...
How did he lose?
I think a decision. He got knocked out the second round. Okay. But he has been on a tear lately, 3-fight win streak and just a finisher, man. He's very talented.
Well, he's got a crazy ginger in front of him. How come people don't get offended with ginger?
It's hair color.
There's not too many gingers. It's not. It's a hair color.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Am I gonna have a bunch of gingers marching on Sarah BJJ in Huntington?
Possibly. Maybe they do get upset. We just and they're just not vocal
with the gingers. Anyway,
by the way, Frivola's fight, it was Otman Azaitar was the guy he was supposed to fight, who was 13-0. He gets the boot, but they did reinstate him a month later. But he would have been. He's a tough matchup anyway. He was. I mean, he was. He's on a tremendous streak.
Oh, you know, soon we're gonna be talking to Hakeem.
That would do, yeah.
That would do. Say it again.
That would do.
That would do is a fun name to say, if you ask me. That would do.
Interesting, guys. It's three split decisions out of this five wins. Like, how much pressure do you need? It just like down to the last second. You don't know. That's an uncomfortable way to win.
Yes, it is, Jimmy. Jimmy, have you ever seen that movie from the 70s or the early 80s, Xanadu?
Of course I have. Who hasn't? If you're not an Olivia Newton-John fan, I don't want to be on the show with you.
By the look in Megan O'Leary's face,
she
has no idea what Xanadu is.
I feel like, was it on Broadway at some point? I feel like I used to see billboards for it or something.
It might have been as a play. It was a movie. Not the best critically received film. You've heard the song Xanadu. You've probably heard it and went, oh my God, I heard that, but I turned it off quickly. Yeah, it's not the best song.
It reminds me when I hear Hakeem's name. I'm just like, Hakeem.
Oh, because Dawoodu and Xanadu.
Dawoodu. It's like the Xanadu song.
Oh, you should sing him in.
What's that?
When he comes on, you should sing him in.
Okay.
I wonder if he ever heard that, watched that movie. I'm going to say... I'm not a big better, but I bet that he has not seen the movie Xanadu featuring Olivia Newton-John, the follow-up to Grease. So everybody was excited. Oh, she's in another movie. Oh, what could she be in? No, it's dog shit.
Yeah, not a great film. Not critically acclaimed.
Fuck. Oh, shit. Hey, Megan.
Yeah.
Speaking of my ADD, how's your podcast doing?
You know, thanks for asking.
The new one, not the one with Leon. That's great.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the one with the husband. The one with Joe.
You know what? It was good. Here's the thing. I get nervous to ever like say anything wrong or offend anybody or really like speak super freely about things. But Joe is like so good at that. We did one of our most recent episodes we did where Joe, because Joe, he's a big cinephile. He loves movies. It's his favorite thing in the world. It's all he wants to talk about 24/7. So he does this like monthly movie log where he just tells people what he watched every month. It's not like new releases all the time. It's just, I watched this or that. So we did it in podcast form and it was received so, so well. And he's just so good at it. So I think it's going to pivot to a little bit more of that to really showcase Joe. And he wants to do like a movie club where he has people come on and talk about movies with him. Are you in?
Jimmy, I want to go on.
I think that sounds great. This is the best part.
Why?
Because Megan and Joe did it and she went, Joe, if I continue this, I'm going to get fired. So we're going to have to stop this podcast. You're going to say something that's going to get me fired.
It's weird for me. Like I curse all the time at home. Yes. I want to talk shit on reality shows. You know what I mean? Like I want to talk about those things, but I also like don't want to be the person that puts more negativity out there, but I love talking shit.
Oh yeah. Oh, I hear you. You know what it is though? You got that Kelly Ripa vibe, that American sweetheart vibe. You know what I mean?
She's a friend of mine. So thank you. That's really nice.
My wife, it's so funny because my wife watches her every morning. I'm very friendly with her husband, Mark Consuelos.
The best. They are the best human beings on the planet. And I wish people understood like just how absolutely wonderful and gracious and welcoming they are. Their kids are just phenomenal. The greatest family ever.
He's such a nice guy. So I know she's not, I'm not going to say obsessed with Kelly, but she watches every morning. What's his name? And who's the guy you want?
Ryan Seacrest.
Yes. And she watches every morning. So every time like Mark Consuelos likes something on my Instagram, I go, you see, that's you like Kelly.
That's my dream. My dream is to be able to fill in for Kelly one day.
I could see that. You're right. Run away from Joe's podcast. He's going to get you in trouble. Hey, we got Hakeem Dawoodu on. Let's get him on, man.
Let's bring him in.
Ask him about Xanadu.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Is that your nickname, Mean? Mean Akeem?
Yeah, man. Mean Akeem.
I like that.
I like it too.
That's why he lives up to it.
Now, you're very impressive mentally, because your first fight, if I remember, you were 7-0, and your first fight in the octagon, it was a tough loss. And you came back and won five straight fights, which is really impressive to me after such a lot of guys would get discouraged first fight in the UFC to have that type of loss. Was it something that you had to really sit down and go, all right, do I belong here or not? Or how did you overcome that as well as you did? Because you've looked great since then.
No excuses, but that first fight, I went to a whole nother gym, and I didn't really get the looks that I needed. I didn't get the sparring that I needed. And at the same time, when the UFC called, I had two torn shoulders. And I didn't want the UFC to be like, I didn't want to tell the UFC to hold up. So I took that fight with two torn shoulders. And, you know, I'm not taking any props away from Danny Henry, because, you know, he was good that night. But I knew I wasn't 100%. I knew I was injured, and I knew that just wasn't really the real me. So I didn't take that too personal. I just made sure I got PRP after that fight and made sure I was never in that position again. And as you see, as I'm getting healthier and healthier, my fights are only getting better.
Hakeem, where did you grow up, and what's the first discipline in fighting that you start with?
I grew up in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Yeah. And the first martial arts I ever took was Taekwondo. That was the first thing I ever took. And then around the age of 12, I did boxing and wrestling. And then when I was 16 is when I started the Muay Thai kickboxing, and really that's where it really took off.
And when you're a kid now, are you looking for it and going, okay, I want to be a fighter? Or did you have something else you thought you'd wind up doing, and then you just realized you were really good at this?
No, it was more of a thing where I think my mom just wanted me to have a male role model type of thing and some discipline, since my dad got deported when I was like five, right? So I think she put me in martial arts and boxing, just to kind of have a male figure, you know, just giving me discipline.
Was deported from Canada?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that must have been really where to?
Jamaica.
So were you able to at least go and see your dad, or that must have been really difficult?
I used to go to Jamaica every summer, get my ass beat by my dad, you know, because that's how we kind of made up with the father and not being there. But yeah, I used to go to Jamaica every summer and visit my father.
And I know you're active too in helping people who are having trouble with drugs, which I think is a great, by some people you knew who had obviously bad outcomes with that. Did that kind of motivate you to want to do that, to go, you know, I want to help people straighten out who are on that path?
Yeah. You know, I used to have a little bit of an addiction problem when I was younger, and I've had a lot of friends, you know, die off that drug, fentanyl.
Yeah.
But really in this camp, what really hit me is one of my closest best friends that I used to live with overdosed on fentanyl. And that was like a really close death. You know what I mean? That was really close. So yeah, definitely after this fight, I'm looking to do more and more. I think we're hosting a memorial, and yeah, man, it's been a couple of crazy years with especially now with the COVID and the lockdown, I've seen a lot more of overdoses.
It's so sad to hear about, Hakeem. You're so sorry for your loss. But in terms of of how you can impact the community. Do you feel like martial arts is an outlet for people? I mean, listen, not everybody's going to become a professional fighter, but do you feel like there's positives to be gained for those who might be struggling in those different areas?
Yeah, definitely. I think martial arts and the gym community is definitely an outlet. Not only are you, you know, getting out of the house, becoming healthy, learning a new discipline, but also just the social bond of, you know, of all our martial artists at our gym getting together. You know, we do events, we hang out together. So I definitely think there's big advantages of martial arts, not just the training aspect, but the community part of it as well.
Yeah, and I'm a person with an addictive personality as well. You know, I've definitely dabbled a lot and had problems with it when I was younger. So when you have a temptation, how do you pull yourself out of a moment where your mind starts going where it shouldn't go? Do you pick up the phone or do you train or what do you do to kind of keep yourself like, oh no, this I have to go in this direction?
Well, you know, my last addiction problem, I was probably 16 years old. You know what I mean? So when I went to a juvenile detention center, it just kind of weaned it all out of me. You know what I mean? I didn't really, I couldn't get nothing in there anyway. So ever since about 16, 17, I haven't had any cravings. Cause you know, once I got out of juvie, you know what I mean? I just kind of turned my life around. So I don't really get cravings at all. But I'd say for people, when you do get a craving or, you know, you want to, you know, relapse, you know, pick up the phone, you know, call your homeboy, call your girlfriend, you know, come just try to get out the house, do something positive. There's always someone there willing to help and listen to you. Don't try to battle it on your own.
Yeah, it's the fight you're having on Saturday, Evloev, 14-0, you're 12-1-1. I mean, this is a really, really, because the card is so big. Everyone's talking about the main, the co-main, and Diaz against Edwards, but you have an incredible fight. This is a really underrated fight, I think, is your fight with Evloev.
Yeah, you know, he's a good fighter. He's kind of similar to the last guy I fought. You know what I mean? When I fought Zubara from Khabib's camp, I feel like he's a less dangerous opponent because he doesn't have as much power as Zubara does. He's more of a, you know, a touch and go fighter, but his strength is he has more cardio. So he's not going to be, I don't expect him to be running like the last guy. I expect him to be, you know, bringing as much as he can the whole way through. So it's in my eyes, it's a less of a, I'm going to be doing most of the hurting in this fight. And I just made sure that I was in extremely good shape. And, you know, I'm willing to put him away, but I'm also got the gas tank to go all three rounds. No problem.
And Hakeem, I mean, he's undefeated. So is there something in you that wants to be the one to take that zero from him?
Yeah, definitely. I've beaten a lot of undefeated people. You know, yeah, he's undefeated, but he's only had 4 fights at featherweight. So, you know, he is new to the weight class. And, yeah, you know, I'm not worried about his undefeated record. I'm going to give him his first O. I got all the tools to beat this guy. I've been in this position before against these style of fighters. And I'm looking to really put on a performance and end the show. I don't want to go all 3 rounds. I want to put this guy away.
Me and Hakeem, man, channeled in. You seem very channeled in, very focused. I love it.
Yeah, definitely. This camp, I had to focus. Like, I didn't even have time to mourn for my best friend. You know, I had to go to a funeral, and then it was training right the next day. I couldn't even skip a beat. So I just had to stay focused, keep that tunnel vision, and, you know, kind of just think about everything afterwards.
Right. I was going to ask you that, too. When something like that happens, like when you're in camp and a death occurs, yeah, but you have a fight, are you able to kind of compartmentalize that and go, all right, I'll take care of this mentally when this part is over? Like after the fight, then maybe think it through. Are you good at doing that?
Yeah. You know, I just got to stay tunnel vision. You know, I got him tatted on me. I got my homeboy tatted on me, and I brought his ashes down actually over the border because he had a record. He's never really lost, left the border. So I brought him down here with me. And yeah. And then after the fight, you know, now I can focus on what the next plan is to help the community with some of these addiction problems.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good thing to focus on. And I've had a lot of friends die of that. And it's always very sad. And it always makes me feel lucky. Like, man, I'm very lucky that I went in the other direction because I'm no better than that guy. There's no reason that couldn't happen to me if it happens to them.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel.
Well, look, good luck. Again, an underrated fight. You against Movsar Evloev on you're the opening fight of the prelims on Saturday night on an incredible card. It's a huge stage. And does the magnitude of the card, does that ever, do you ever think of that? Like, this is great. Now more people are going to get a chance to see me fight. I mean, does that ever occur to you, or do you not care at all?
No, it was great. You know, of course I'd like to be on the main event like I was last time with Israel Adesanya versus Costa, but you know, with such a big event, I can't be mad with all these bigger names being ahead of me. You know what I mean? There's so many big names on this card. So I understand why maybe my fight got slept on a little bit, but it's definitely not the fight to sleep on. I think once it happens afterwards, everyone's going to be talking about it, and I plan on getting KO and performance of the night, fight of the night.
Fuck yeah, man. Every fight is an opportunity for greatness, and again, man, you're right there, you're channeled in. I'm excited to see this fight, and you're part of such an amazing card that a lot of eyes are going to be on you.
Maybe top 10 after this?
Yeah, top 10 after this. I really don't think you can deny that. This will be my sixth win in a row. He's ranked number 15. I was originally supposed to fight Shane Burgos back in January, but I tore my shoulder. And, yeah, I feel like after this, it puts me right back in a position to have a top 10 opponent and then start making my title run.
Yeah, well, good luck on Saturday, man. It's good talking to you. It's your first time on. It's great having you. And, you know, sorry about your friend, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate you guys for having me tune into the fight.
I like it.
He's another example of just these tremendous stories of what he's overcome. I mean, I believe a judge actually said he needed to do some anger management and go to like kickboxing classes or have some sort of physical outlet. And that sort of also spawned his career in mixed martial arts. So, I mean, it's just our athletes, they're just tremendous. Like, for a normal person to overcome that and live a regular life would be huge, let alone to be, you know, this ranked fighter inside the UFC octagon. I just think it's amazing.
I'm smiling, Jimmy, because you know, one time after an incident, like a fighting incident, the judge ordered me to do anger management. Me, I went to three of them. The lady was dying. I was killing her. She's like, you don't need me, you know. I'm like, come on, right? I don't need this shit. She was sweet. She liked me. She goes, you're not angry. I go, I know. I'm silly. And this was ages ago. So I took out the 5-town tough guy. I'm going to tell that story another time. Jimmy, remind me.
All right. It is a great story. I mean, I'm happy for you.
You know, I mean, listen, look at Megan. She's got her arms. I'll save it for another episode, though.
All right.
But anyway, anger management, it's fucking hysterical.
Nobody cares if I go to anger management because I'm not a physically imposing person. So my anger is not a threat to anybody. I just pound the table with my little hands and by the way, Megan, thank you for politely not acknowledging my shit mustache. It is something I'm doing for other. I know it looks terrible and it's not that I think it looks good. And my dyed blonde hair, I'm not having a crisis. You're a good egg for not mentioning it and ridiculing me. I just wanted you to know that I don't think I look great. Like, I know I look hideous.
I think you look great. And it's all about the inner confidence. You have a swag about you. You're just fine. I like it.
You should have just stuck with the swag about him, because now that you said he looked great, I will not take any compliment you ever give me. Seriously, Megan O'Leary, because you're clearly bullshitting.
Now, Matt, you're saying,
Jimmy, I love you so much. Listen, well, you're wrong. Like a little reject in that Eminem video when there's a million Slim Shadys.
Yeah, it's
all. Like the one in the back with the fucking Fu Manchu.
Yeah, listen, it's bad. And it's infuriating
you,
people.
And I'm going to manscape that bitch off your face is what I'm going to do.
Wait, is it for a reason?
You know, I do certain podcasts and things like that that I kind of and it also... It annoys my radio co-hosts. I do a radio show in the morning with a guy named Sam Roberts, and the rest of the staff hates it, and it looks terrible, and it bothers my friends. And there's a part of me that loves this so much that I look repulsive.
He plays a character, Megan. It's not that
I also do a character podcast.
Yeah, it's Doug Bell, and yeah. That's what you're looking at right now.
But okay. Doug Bell's a different guy. So, but I hate it so much. I keep feeling it under my nose and it's Jimmy. Bothering me. I hate facial hair.
Can I say, Jimmy, as a bald man, yeah. I love my little 5 o'clock shadow I walk around with. And it kind of covers my double chin. Well, not when I do this, because now I look like a fatty. But yeah. Normally, like when I smile like this, the double chin don't look that bad. And when I smile normally, you're like, oh, look at the little fatty. Anyway, let's get back to business.
We're here.
Megan Lely, what are you a part of?
Can I come back all the time? Because this is so much fun for me right now.
This is a fun show. I want to talk about, are we talking about the fights, please? Can we talk about this main card? Sure. How long are we in? We got time, right? Let's talk about the main card. This is the best card all year, Jimmy.
We kind of say that every pay-per-view, right?
We do say that, but this time I mean it. No, listen, I just looked. Damian Maia versus Bilal Muhammad. I mean, Paul Craig versus Jamal Hill.
Jamal Hill.
What's his sweet? What's his name? Sweet Dreams? What the fuck is his nickname? I like him. What's his nickname, Jamal Hill?
I don't know his nickname.
Guys, look it up so I don't sound like an idiot. It's Sweet Something. Sweet Dreams. You're baby. Correct.
Yeah. Sweet Dreams.
I knew it was something sweet. I like me Jamal Hill. All right, Jimmy, we could do picks. I don't think Megan could do that because
I know I can't, but I love to hear yours.
Oh my goodness, let's go.
I've been on a roll too. I was we don't need to credit me with the last two that I got right.
You didn't pick Yarzinho to win that one.
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, then I'm my bad. Yeah. Anyway, listen, let's start.
Who was the co-main last week? Because I did pick that one too.
I don't know. Because
Megan, do you remember the co-main last week?
Honestly, they all just
blend. I know, me too.
Let's talk about the main
Martin Tabora.
Mal Harris, yeah. That's one of those fights where you're so happy for the winner because Martin is so nice, but yes. Walt, man, everybody, you know, how can you not root for Walt Harris?
I know. Everyone loves Walt Harris. Everyone loves
Walt. I would put him on the ground and keep him, not physically. He's a big man, but I would, if I was training him, I'd be like, dude,
doing
all jujitsu, all wrestling, all defense up against everything, because I'll tell you right now, stand up's not getting any worse. It seems to improve every goddamn fight. Every time he loses, the last two times he lost, to Overeem and to Tibora, before he lost, he's never looked better. So it's fucking weird. It's like, dude, he's holy shit. This is not. This is like a mismatch. And then he loses. Like, wait, what? So I mean, it feels bad because it is that like laces out moment. It's like tripping at the finish line. But you know, we'll see him back the big ticket
for sure.
Paul Craig 14-4. Now Jamal Hill's undefeated.
I am listening. I'm a jiu-jitsu man.
You know that. You are.
But I'm looking at this. I like this Jamal Hill. Sweet Dreams. I like him. And I feel he's going to win this fight. And I'm sorry. Damien. I was just looking at the fucking thing. And I see how it says Damian Maia is 43 and he's 33.
I saw the same thing.
Right? Didn't you think? I go, man, Paul Craig, he looks good for fucking that.
Yeah, he's only 3 years old. No, Jamal's 30.
But I think he's going to avoid the submissions, and he's going to land his strikes, and I think he's going to take him out. And I think he's going to take him out in the second round, Jimmy.
You know, I thought the same thing.
Jamal Hill.
I'll take Paul Craig by decision. I think he's going to wear him down. I thought the same thing, maybe Jamal Hill in the second. And then I thought, well, is Paul Craig maybe a submission? But no, I think Paul Craig just wears him down, and they go the distance, and he gets the decision.
Okay. Okay, so we agree to disagree. Damian Maia, first of all, I get so happy. I love both these guys. It's hard for me to pick, Megan.
Oh my God, I know. That's one of those fights where you kind of watch like this because
you love both. You love
them both. They're both such sweet guys. It means something different for their futures with wins. You know what I mean? If there's, I hate it. I love it, but I hate it.
I mean, listen, this is what I'm going to do. And I did his game show. Every time I see him, I give him a hug. I really love Bilal. But I do, I mean, it's not about who I like more. It's about that you cut me and I bleed jiu-jitsu. Damian Maia is, Damian Maia versus Ben Askren was one of my favorite fights ever. It felt like the best of two disciplines fighting each other. Like you see the best of the wrestling versus the best of jiu-jitsu. It was so much fun. I remember his Umaplata reversal. I remember his Asha Gorami reversal with the leg lock and his rear naked choke finish. Damian Maia, submission, second round. I'm sorry, Blow, I love you. And if you've proved me wrong, good for you.
I don't know. I'm looking right now. I mean, he's had a lot of decisions, Bilal, a lot of his, I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just kind of noting that as a fact. So he tends to be very comfortable going the distance.
If you pick against him, Bilal won't like it. Megan, I forgot you were here. I'm sorry. Megan. Now he left. Megan, it's just me and you. All right.
I'm going to take Bilal Muhammad by decision. I'm going to take a second decision in a row, Muhammad by decision. He's very comfortable going the distance. I'm going to take Bilal by
Bilal Muhammad.
That's right, by decision.
Sing his name to me. Sing it, Jimmy.
I refuse.
Okay. All right. So we agree. Listen, we're going in different directions here, Jimmy. We're picking just boom. Okay. Let's go to the next one.
I love this one. Five rounds. I'll introduce it for you. Five rounds between Leon Edwards.
Yes.
And Nate Diaz. This one is what they call the people's main event. Scheduled for 25 minutes between two very talented but very different athletes.
Now, listen, I know where you're going with this. You're going with Leon Edwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you
are. Yep.
How are you going by that?
I'm going with Leon Edwards. My first thought is third round stoppage, but Nate Diaz is so tough. I'm going to take a fourth round stoppage by Edwards. And again, Diaz is just a very, very tough guy, very difficult. I think there's an 8-year age difference between them, if I'm thinking right, which, again, doesn't always matter. But as someone gets into their late 30s, am I correct about that? Is he 29, 37? Am I wrong?
29 and 36, yeah.
I'm going to take Leon. My instinct is to go third round stoppage, but I want to say fourth round stoppage because I think Nate is so tough. I'm going to go third round stoppage, Leon. I go with my first instinct.
Fifth round stoppage, Diaz. You think Diaz is an average 36-year-old? That guy will smoke a blunt and do a fucking triathlon. And
incredible.
And do some laps. I mean, are you kidding me? What do you think? Well, what do you think?
I mean, Leon doesn't exactly sit on the couch and eat rolls.
It's true. It's true. I cannot listen. I love Leon. I'm one of his biggest fans, but
it's obvious.
But Nate Diaz, I could not pick against him.
Pick against Diaz. Exactly.
Because you know why everybody always does. And then he's just like, you know, what's up now, motherfuckers? He proves them wrong. He wears them down. It's gonna be a war of attrition. He's durable.
Yeah.
In the beginning, he might have to weather some shit, and he's done it before. But listen, man, he stays calm when the storm's at him. And you know, I want to see what happens. I think it's gonna happen more in those later rounds. You know,
not to interrupt your picks and predictions, but how about Dana saying Nick Diaz might fight this year?
2021, yeah.
Listen, man.
Yeah,
Nick Diaz, we gotta see him again.
I know. The guy looks in the best shape I've ever seen him in. I saw him in Houston, and he just looks absolutely phenomenal. So it'd be interesting to see how he returns in against you. Anyway, sorry.
Interrupt anytime with Nick Diaz.
Yeah.
In Nick Diaz news, you interrupt anytime. That's great. And who do we have? All right, so we're picking. All right, so far.
Romain, Davison Figueroa, and Brandon Moreno fought to a draw.
Go first, and I'm going to go the opposite of you now. That's what we're doing.
Very tough.
Pick? Who do you pick?
I mean, I want to go with Davison Figueiredo.
Jenny, wait a second. Remember Wrath of Man that I told you I watched the other day with Jason Statham?
Yes. The Last Man, it's called? No?
Good movie. About the armored car thing. One of the main bad guys in it. I'm like, yo, man, I know that fucking dude. There's a black guy, and he's one of the bad guys. He has a lot of lines. I go, honey, I'm asking my wife. This is our first date night in a while. We were celebrating our 14th year wedding anniversary, Megan.
Congratulations.
Ain't that nice?
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was a nice date night. So anyway, I'm like, I know this fucking dude. I know him. And then I'm like, wait a minute. I strangled him. It was a guy who went for us back in the day in a jiu-jitsu match. Babs Olutz something or other. He's got a big last name. But Babs is the first. Wow. Jimmy. So I'm watching this fucking thing, and I'm like, dude, this guy had a, and he was also in like a Daredevil show or something, but I was so happy to see him on there. Because I like when guys make it. I like when guys are doing well, even if they were my former foes.
Yeah.
And we had a jiu-jitsu match versus each other. I was a brown belt. I believe he was a purple. And it was in a gymnasium in Connecticut. And Minotauro was the ref. This is back in like 99 or some shit.
That's amazing.
Oh, it was amazing. You could see it on the on the computer. It's on the YouTube somewhere. If you do Matt, if you type in Matt Serra versus Babs, I was a young kid. I was in the 20s, and it was before I was in the UFC. And we had like a big rivalry with our schools, so it was just so cool. So anyway, I'm happy that guy's doing well for himself because I see him in some other shit. You know, he's got a big talking part. Jimmy, I'm gonna take your fucking mustache off. When I see you, I'm gonna just get
it'll probably be gone.
You think I'm gonna come in for a kiss on the cheek like an Italian? And I'm gonna fight it with my dad.
I'm gonna leave this. I'm gonna leave this to really be gross.
Don't.
Yeah, I'm just gonna leave a little soul patch. What's that?
Congrats, Dad. All right, back to our picks. Back to our picks. But Rafa, man, I like that. I am enjoying that. And me and my wife.
By the way, can I jump in? I love Israel Adesanya. I do not necessarily need to see the last photo that's on his Instagram, but I do love him.
What is on his Instagram?
Just a great photo of him. If you're him, it's a great photo of him.
On Instagram? I'm going through it right now.
It makes me want to be him. I mean, obviously, if I was him, I would probably post the same photo.
Jimmy.
Of course he did. It's what I would do if I had the ability to do that.
Jimmy likes the new Venom fight gear.
I just Jimmy, was scrolling and I happened to see that.
I think you showed me a picture like that before, and then you told me that, all right, it's actually a sock I put in there.
No, but it was in the back. It was in the back. Now, here's the thing. I'm just looking at this. I'm like, yeah, Adesanya knew what he was doing, and I think I know what he's going to hit Vittori over the head with in that fight. Now, let's see. Let's go. What do you think, Matt? The co-main event would be...
Co-main event.
It's hard to bet against Brandon Moreno either. He looks so good.
Bilal Muhammad. Let me think. Did you ever hear the song In and Out of Love by Tyrone Woodley?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, Matt? I don't know, man.
What I think about Tyrone Woodley's song In and Out of Love? I think if he beats fucking Jake Paul, he will release that thing. And that's what I'm hoping for. Okay. I'm going with Moreno, Brandon Moreno. Saturday, you'll have your day. Moreno, Brandon Moreno.
I'm taking. How are you taking him?
What?
How are you taking
him? My kids are on Zoom, dude. They're going to get expelled. All they hear is yelling by a maniac. They take school in Zoom. I got to relax. I'm sorry. Back to your picture.
You're taking Brandon Moreno. How?
You notice that he just ignores me when I go into my...
Megan, I don't mind it. I'm used to it.
Just went down. Megan's watching with disbelief and Jimmy waits for me to be done. He goes, okay, so you're taking Moreno. Okay, Jimmy's so used to me. Jimmy, I love you so much. I'm taking Moreno. And I'm going to say that he's going to get him down there. He's going to take him out in the fourth round. With his endurance, he's gonna have to weather some shit though, because Figueroa is very dangerous.
Yes,
he is dangerous.
I'm gonna take, and no disrespect to Moreno.
Reminds me of a Queen song. Figueroa.
What song? Oh, I'm gonna take Davison Figueroa, second round stoppage.
F you and your picks.
I know. I just think that power, I think he's going to get through with his power. And again, after the first fight was an incredible fight, and I'm not underestimating Moreno, but I just think second round, Figueiredo gets through the shot.
I think you're underestimating him a little bit.
No.
I think a little bit you're underestimating him, Jimmy.
All right.
Just a little bit, Jimmy.
All right. We'll see.
I'm going to say main event. Oh, wait, hold on. Let Megan, come on. She's sitting here watching on the sidelines. Could you please announce what's the main event, Megan?
The main event is a rematch between the champion Israel Adesanya and now the challenger, Marvin Vettori. This one is for the belt. Their original fight was not very, very close first fight. Many people thought Marvin Vettori won it. And he has looked better than ever in his last few outings. So it will be very interesting. Israel Adesanya moving back to middleweight, his natural home. He went up to 205 to challenge Jan Blachowicz in his last fight. This one, I think, is very compelling. And I feel like Marvin Vettori rode into this one a little bit quietly.
Well, I mean, if you ever seen him get interviewed, he's not so quiet. He's a sight.
Or in the lobby, he's not quiet.
I love his attitude. This is a fight where you have two guys that truly believe they know what's really going to happen here. They both looking at each other like, nah, you don't know. And the other guy's like, no, you don't know. Like, they both feel they have such belief in their ability that they're going to come out victorious. That is, and with the contrast, the styles, the contrast, the personalities, I love it. I know who I'm picking, but I'm not going to say it right away. Jimmy?
You know, it's very tough because when you look at, you know, I'm not going to say that Israel has a kryptonite being on the ground. I'm not going to say that at all. You look at Kevin Holland has had a couple of tough fights on the ground, going up and fighting Jan Blachowicz at light heavyweight. Again, much heavier guy than he's used to fighting, a lot more weight on him than he's probably used to having. So you could say that. But obviously, that's going to probably be Vittori's game plan, is probably going to be to put him on the ground. Look, Israel has survived against some extremely brutal. Brunson, he dropped Yoel Romero. He beat Paulo Costa. He stopped
Robert Whittaker.
Whittaker, yeah. So obviously he's not afraid to be a drop. Whittaker, second round if I'm remembering correctly. He's not afraid of being hit, obviously, or by a striker. But will a guy on the ground be able to do what Blachowicz did? It's very tough. It's the only reason I'm thinking of maybe going with Vettori. I think he finds a way to grind him up against the fence. But then again, if I think that, Adesanya thinks that. So I'm babbling. I'm not 100% sure on this one. Very okay. tough. This is a really tough fight to pick because I love both of these guys. And do I see Adesanya losing two in a row? I see either Adesanya winning by decision or Vettori grounding.
Now you're trying to have your case.
I'm just talking through my process. You can jump in and do your pick. I don't know.
I understand. I will make my pick. I'm going with the Italian dream. Nothing to do with my heritage. I like Vettori. And the reason I like it, he fully believes he won that first fight. He is not afraid. I mean, his fight with Jack Hermanson was a fucking great fight. He knows how to deal. He almost had him out in the very beginning, and he did not. He made sure he did not waste all his energy trying to get him out of there, and he still made it through that five rounds, and he did it.
And Jack is so good.
Jack's very well rounded, and he's dangerous standing up on the floor. I feel it's going to be a fourth round stoppage, most likely ground and pound.
Over him, okay.
Yeah, fourth round stoppage by Marvin Vettori. You know, I feel he's durable enough to have to weather some strikes to get a hold of the champ of Israel. But also, I feel he could hurt him upstairs too. So when Israel's worried about the takedowns, I feel Marvin does come in with power. I mean, the guy's got such belief. He truly feels it's his destiny. I know people throw that out around a lot, but he's got something in his eyes that. It's more than determination. It's more than just being a half of a psychopath. He has such a belief in himself and the skill set. I feel he's going to be the new champion.
Okay.
Do you guys feel, when I said I felt like Marvin was coming into this one quietly, do you feel like it's getting the attention in terms of how close that first fight was that from the media that it deserves? Are you seeing, how do you feel it's being presented to fans?
It might be getting, not overshadowed, but look at this card, especially with Nate Diaz, the return to him. People are talking about that. I mean, that's big. You know, you got the Moreno Figueroa.
And Adesanya looks human after a loss. He's no longer undefeated. He looks human. So it's still an exciting middleweight championship fight, but this guy's a human being. Where as opposed to against Costa, it was like this monster against this undefeated stylistic fighter. I'm going to go with Adesanya. I'm going to take him by decision. I think he finds a way to out literally. I mean, it may be a 3-2 in rounds. It may be that close, a 48-47 win. It might be one of those. I'm going to take Adesanya by decision. I think it's a very close fight.
Do you realize we literally picked everybody's opposite?
Well, that's why in a way, yeah, because there are a lot of very close fights. It's hard to.
That's what we did.
No. Meaning in a way, it's not like
oh,
kind of part of me wanted to pick opposite. So one of us has this and one has that, but it's also the fights are all so close. There's no one I couldn't have picked the opposite on either. Like I wouldn't have thought any of your picks were stupid. If you know, I wouldn't have been hesitant to pick Vittoria. I just think that, Adesanya.
Oh, wow. Jimmy, I didn't even know Eric Anders is fighting, Darren Stewart.
Yeah.
Drew Dober, prelims.
Brad Riddell.
That's the main fight of the prelims. Yeah.
And that is can't miss TV. That's why it's the prelims main event. Drew Dober, man, such a talented mixed martial artist, ranked number 13. And Brad Riddell, I mean, that one, I think should be great. And I don't see it going all three rounds.
I should have said Riddell. I said Riddle.
That's okay.
That's all right.
I think
it's hard. There's double L's at the end. It's hard.
That's right. Lauren Murphy versus Joanne Calderwood is another one. Yep. That's got to be a fantastic fight.
Could be next in line for the title.
Listen, it's so great. All right. Anything else we want to talk about, gang? Any headlines or anything before we get out of here? No, I mean, I'm so looking forward to the. We did our picks.
Let's promote. We should also promote becoming a fighter.
Yes.
And Megan, where can people see that and so they can support that?
Well, funny enough, they don't have to go far. It's right on the UFC Unfiltered feed. So they will be able to just go back a couple of episodes and see it right there. I think one day it will probably have its own home,
sure,
where it lives. But until then, we've got episodes with Leon Edwards, Rose Namajunas, and Ian Heinisch.
Oh, Ian. Yes. I remember. Yeah. We love Ian.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, you did have a crazy story. And what is – so they find that in all, on the UFC Unfiltered feed.
UFC Unfiltered feed, yeah. And so, like I said, you can go back. They're evergreen listens. They don't have to do with any particular fight. You can listen to them anytime, and you don't have to necessarily be a fight fan to enjoy them. And I think it's always really interesting to hear how anyone got to where they are, especially if they have a bit of notoriety. But these stories in particular are pretty incredible. Leon Edwards fighting this weekend, obviously that's one you want to listen to. But Rose and Ian, they just have tremendous, really, really incredible stories. You don't hear that much about Ian. You might know a little bit about, but that's like just the tip of the iceberg of what he went through in his life. So lots of good listens there.
Congrats, Megan. Yeah. You're taking over, Megan. You're out there just as much as almost as much as my buddy Dean Thomas. We see you everywhere. And you're both great people, so we're happy for you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
And what's your husband's podcast? Because I like the movies. What is his?
Well, so that will launch. The actual movie one's going to launch soon. He's going to call it, ready? Film Club. UFC.
Oh, okay. Nice. Very smart.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. Yes. I'm gonna be one of his first subscribers. I can't wait to listen to that.
Hopefully you'll be one of the first guests. You just pick a random movie and then you talk about it.
Shoot. Well, I'm down. I am totally down. Tell him to hit me up. Jimmy or Doug Bell or whoever am I talking to now.
If you want any of these nonsense characters, you can go to Chip Chipperson's YouTube page and get the Doug Bell cast or a few other completely unenjoyable endeavors that I engage in. And that's all I have. I'm back on the road doing stand up again in August. So I'll start promoting that probably next week or in 2 weeks. Yeah, finally. Yeah.
I'm so excited for you.
Yeah. And I'm just embarrassed to promote anything with
this. Are you coming to Las Vegas?
You know, I don't have any Vegas plans. I want to come out for a fight. I haven't been on stage in a long time, which for me is very rare. I mean, I haven't done that in 30 years, taking time off. So I'll be out to Vegas hopefully before the end of the year. I really want to get out just for a fight.
Perfect. We'd love to have you.
Leaving your apartment soon, my little bird. You don't need your apartment so much.
I know. I'm safe and secure. Right. Megan, thank you so much for joining us. We love having you on.
Thanks for having me on.
And also to Hakeem Dawodu and Leon Edwards. Really fun show. And we'll talk to you again very soon. And enjoy the fight this weekend, this Saturday night.
Cannot wait. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, Megan. Bye, Matt.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.